on the personal intuitions and practices
exactly.
of himself.
And that is the very accurate definition of Irfan al-Nazari and Irfan al-Amali. So if something is based on the illusions, like many delusional people, people who have everything comes to their mind and they mix everything with together and they want to give you Irfan. No, that has nothing to do with real mysticism that we talk about.
Thank you very much for this distinction.
You're very welcome.
Let me get to Said Mohsen now. Do you believe in this definition Dr. Reza Zadeh said, or like me, we can't say took the wrong approach? Because till now, I believe that Irfan al-Nazari has nothing to do with Irfan al-Amali. These are two different things. Some people are only expert in Irfan al-Nazari and just in theory they are active and powerful, but if we get to the practices, they are weak. But as Dr. Reza Zadeh said, no, it is a different, it has roots.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, the example that you gave of some people who are good in Nazari and like theoretical thought, and some of them are in practical, it's because obviously nowadays, obviously, the scholars that we see or the people who are talking about the theoretical Irfan, they have read the books of the previous, we can say, Urafa.
Okay.
For example, Khaja Nasiruddin, Tusi, we have Ibn Arabi, we have
and Mullah Sadra.
Mullah Sadra. The point is that those people who wrote those books, where they got these ideas from, this path which they are showing to us, for example, the books of Ibn Arabi or Khaja Nasiruddin, when we read it, where did they got this from?
So these scholars are the same.
They're
Mughar, is it Mughar, you say?
Yeah, this is an important point. You know, those people, you can become an expert in theoretical mysticism by reading the books that they have written. So Irfan al-Nazari itself is rooted in the experiences.
Yes.
But when it is written and it is like a knowledge or a field of studies, your misunderstandings maybe come from that point.
That's right.
You can start reading those books without being committed to practical mysticism at all. And learn all of those principles.
But the spiritual perfection side most needs practices.
It is.
I mean, only through reading the text of the Irfan, you cannot become mystic.
You know, we have a definition of ilm, knowledge. And the knowledge, obviously, generally when I define it, I say like we gather a lot of information.
That's right.
We have a lot of information. You know, the way there is a raw material and then when it is processed, it becomes a kind of profession. Information is that we read a lot of books, we know about the history, we know about the like theoretical part of the, we can say, mysticism or Irfan. But when we practically apply it, on or someone tries to practically work on it, he becomes arif.
Mm-hmm.
This information changes to knowledge.
That's all right.
The people at this time, obviously, there are many people who have a lot of knowledge about many things.
Yes.
And if you ask them to talk about a topic, they might be able to talk like 24 hours or 10 hours or 8 hours continuously, nonstop on a single topic. But the point is that his wordings do not have any kind of effect on people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the way you said there are many people who are talking about the nazari or the theoretical part. But you can see like they don't have any effect on the people as well.
Yeah.
Whereas a person who is practically...
Okay.
is basically experiencing the Irfan and he's practically applying those things in his life, he has more effect.
Like example, as we have fast food nowadays, you have fast Irfan, okay?
We need to remember that there's a Qadib as
that's
well.
That's not Irfan.
Yeah.
That's just no, I mean...
Irfan cannot be achieved fast.
I mean, inside...
It can be. Obviously, there are different levels of souls, obviously. We need to see...
No, I mean, when you say Irfan, it really needs many, many years of spiritual exercises.
You know, one thing which is very, very much famous in the field of Irfan is that the ulama, they said, like, if you practice a specific, we can say, practice for at least 1 year, after 1 year, you will start seeing the effects. On top of that, we can see, like, Ayatollah Behjat, Rizwanullah Ta'ala alayhi, he narrates it from his teacher, Allama Qazi.
Qazi, Sayyid Ali Qazi.
Right. He says that he said to us that if you pray on time, your 5-time prayers, and after some time, if you don't see anything, any ranks or any kind of enlightenment in you, you can come and spit on my face. So basically, there are different levels. On top of that, we have other Urafa. For example, in Qom, we had the Kazim Karbalai.
Karbalai Kazim, right.
Karbalai Kazim. He got the hifz of Quran, like he got the Quran in the old age. Yes. And this is also, we can refer it towards the Irfan. Obviously.
He was an illiterate man.
He was illiterate man, and he was given the, we can say, knowledge of Quran.
Yes.
By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
By heart, that's right.
Yeah, in a spiritual experience.
Yes. When they ask him, like, how did you get this? He said, just act whatever you know about religion.
Mm-hmm.
The simplest formula of Qurafa is that whatever you know, just live like that. Uh-huh. You know, that's the
practice what you preach.
Practice what you know.
Okay. Practice what you know, that's right.
Not what you preach. Oh, that's for ulama. For general people, practice what you know. If you know lying is guna or sin, don't lie. If you know praying on time is obviously necessary, then pray on time.
Yes.
So obviously this is the main point, that if someone is not practicing, and that's why we have in the narrations as well, like from A'imma, that that if an alim is not practicing what he preaches, his wordings has no effect on people.
That's right.
And that's why we can see, unfortunately, many people preaching or talking about religion, but practically in the society, we do not see those effects.
That's right.
Even about the prayers, you know, it is said like in the Salata, تَنْحَ عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ.
That's right.
The prayer stops you from doing evil.
Yeah.
Which prayer? What kind of prayer?
Mm-hmm.
Because we have not seen the effects of these prayers.
That's right.
By, we can say, so-called, we can say, religious people.
Or we ourselves, you know, ourselves in our daily lives,
Because we are not practicing it, truly, we do not see the effects.
The salat without ma'rifah has no value, brother, you know? And the fasting without ma'rifah has no value. We are doing it out of what? Obligation, not to go to the hellfire, okay? Or, for example, we are Muslims, we have to do this obligation. But I think people like Allama Hassan Zada Amali believe that do every action you have by ma'rifah, and then you will see the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inside yourself. This is what he means. Okay, anything missed about regarding Irfan and Nazari and Amali?
The only sentence that I want to add is that you can become an expert, an academic expert in Irfan and Nazari by reading the books that have been authored without being called a mystic. So a person who is an expert in theoretical mysticism is never necessarily an RF or a mystic himself.
But if we want to know the secrets, we have to for sure refer to...
If you want to experience the secrets. Maybe some of the secrets can be understood somehow, not completely, somehow by reading the descriptions of the real mystics.
Yes.
So you can get to know a portion of that.
Yes.
But but this does not mean that you are an RF if you just read it.
Okay.
If you want to be an RF and and have that experience, you need to get underway and do all of the practical requirements of that.
And for sure, we must know that all these things and mysticism and Irfan we are talking about is in line with the teachings of the Holy Quran under Islamic laws and obligations, the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, and not deviated. Because unfortunately, we have seen examples even inside the Muslim lands. The Urafa that got deviated, and all of a sudden they claimed something big. Without any intuition and just by being selective from this and that, they called themselves RF. So mysticism and Irfan, like any other field of study, needs practices, Dr. Reza Zadeh.
Absolutely.
To be expert in and to become the spiritual growth of the people.
Yeah, if you're talking about becoming a mystic or an RF, absolutely. It's all about practices. A spiritual exercise is what you and Sayyid mentioned. It's actually being committed to the religious laws, ritual prayers, fasting, and serving other people, and living among other people, and at the same time being a pious person, you know, doing Salat al-Layl, and, you know, these types
Observing Haq al-Nas, that's right.
Exactly. These are the best examples of practical mysticism that can lead to the highest levels of Irfan without being isolated and separated from the society.
That's all right.
I think we need to bear one thing in our mind, that when we are talking about the Islamic terminologies, we better refer to the Arabic text.
Yes.
Because most of the, obviously, all the terminologies that we are using, these are the Arabic terminologies. And Riyadat, obviously, in Arabic, it is said to sports.
Yes.
Sport, yes. Or practicing.
Yeah.
This is the reality.
This is a spiritual sport.
This is a spiritual sport.
Okay.
That you do, obviously.
Yeah.
So that's why we need to refer to the original words, Arabic, and then try to find out, rather than going to look at what people do say or what other religions have these kind of...
You know, the concept is normally in a way that can lead to these different types of interpretations.
Yes.
For example, even in Arabic, this is called riyadha. Riyadha is exercise.
Yes.
In Arabic, even, so it can be used, I mean, regular, these regular exercises that people do every day on a daily basis in order to be healthy, even that is called riyadha in Arabic.
Right. Okay.
And also a spiritual riyadha. So these are different. I mean, the examples need to be done.
But we can say, like, even in the Islam, obviously, the irfan itself is knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you do anything that
is
you do.
Is the result of riyadha. Yeah. That's the result. That knowledge.
So that's why every single movement you should do riyadha in order to become arif.
Yes.
And that can be taken as exercise, like the way you do exercise. You do on every single movement you spend.
Okay.
The way that you're exercising.
Exactly.
So it very much depends on reminding ourselves about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any moment and second of our lives and on any actions that we have.
Sure.
And this is really difficult to reach, but people like Allama Hassan Hassanzadeh really showed that it is possible. Thank you very much, Dr. Reza Zadeh and Said Mohsen Naqvi, for presence in the program. The teacher, it was very kind of you. It was about Ayatollah Hassan Hassanzadeh Ameli. May Allah protect him. Dear listeners, you can visit our website at parstoday.com/Ian Call of Islam Radio, also our YouTube channel, Call of Islam Radio. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
The light.
Welcome to The Light. A chocolate maker in the Belgian city of Bruges has come up with a novel recipe to boost business in the run-up to Easter.
When you're a classic chocolate maker, make very classic recipes. Caramels, praline, marzipan, and it's okay. We have classic bonbons too. But I think today, the customer wants to go on adventure, also when they are eating something.
The chocolatier's special concoction is a praline made of grass juice, Granny Smith apples, and an East Asian type of lemon. He believes chocolate contains a secret ingredient that can counter the lockdown gloom. Belgium is known as the chocolate capital of the world. The northern city of Bruges is in particular renowned for treating your taste buds to quality cocoa. However, the coronavirus pandemic has diminished foreign tourist numbers, with businesses now relying on local customers. This is heart-melting. A video of a stray cat carrying her sick newborn kitten to a veterinary clinic in Turkey is melting hearts online. Veterinarians were confused as a cat walked into their clinic clutching one of her kittens in her mouth. The cat then meowed for a long time and brought in a second kitten of hers. After a quick examination, the vets noticed that the kittens couldn't open their eyes due to an eye infection. The clinic staff immediately treated the animals, helping them open their eyes after a while. The stray feline and her kittens were placed in adoption after the completion of their treatment. In the heart of one of the oldest districts in the U.S. state of California, there's a historical little printing house that is receiving a new lease on life. The building and its equipment were slowly dying out, and its machines were good for scrap. The iconic printing house was on the verge of bankruptcy until a group of artists revived this beacon of traditional typography. They used what was already present in the building, including the tools and hand printing knowledge. Artists are able to print their new age designs using these old printing methods. Some of the machines date back to the late 1800s. La Linterna was first founded to print newspapers. Later on, it began printing cinema and concert posters for famous artists. Nothing marks the start of spring in Japan like cherry blossoms. This year, people try to enjoy the sakura season safely by observing health protocols. Scores of Japanese have flocked to Tokyo's Ueno Park and along the Magura River to see stunning cherry trees in full bloom. The light pink flowers symbolize fresh starts in Japanese culture. The cherry blossoms generally last from April to May. Thanks to this year's warmer weather, trees have blossomed earlier than usual. However, the number of people coming out to enjoy the season has fallen sharply due to the coronavirus pandemic. Some sakura festivals around the capital were also canceled.
In the heart of one of the oldest districts in the U.S. state of California, there is a historical little printing house that is receiving a new lease on life. The building and its equipment were slowly dying out, and its machines were good for scrap. The iconic printing house was on the verge of bankruptcy until a group of artists revived this beacon of traditional typography. They used what was already present in the building, including the tools and hand printing knowledge. Artists are able to print their new age designs using these old printing methods. Some of the machines date back to the late 1800s. La Linterna was first founded to print newspapers. Later on, it began printing cinema and concert posters for famous artists. Nothing marks the start of spring in Japan like cherry blossoms. This year, people try to enjoy the sakura season safely by observing health protocols. Scores of Japanese have flocked to Tokyo's Ueno Park and along the Magura River to see stunning cherry trees in full bloom. The light pink flowers symbolize fresh starts in Japanese culture. The cherry blossoms generally last from April to May. Thanks to this year's warmer weather, trees have blossomed earlier than usual. However, the number of people coming out to enjoy the season has fallen sharply due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Some sakura festivals around the capital, Tokyo, were also cancelled. Asia's largest tulip garden has opened its doors to the public in the Indian-administered Kashmir. The event is expected to draw tens of thousands of enthusiasts this year after witnessing only few visitors last year following the COVID-19 lockdown. Shahanabad has more.
In between the foothills of the Zabarwan mountain range and the world-famous Dal Lake, Asia's largest tulip garden is now open to the public. Visitors are mesmerized by all the colorful flowers which are on display at the event. This seasonal exhibit is a major attraction for locals as well as tourists visiting this picturesque Himalayan region this time around.
People of Kashmir are eagerly awaiting spring because winters here are tough. For us, Navroz of the Persian New Year festival brings hope. And these flowers are the proof of the spring season. They please the eye and fill us with fresh energy.
In this garden, there are 51 different types of tulips, and caretakers of this garden work hard throughout the year to make sure the flowers bloom well.
This garden is God's grace, and to add to its beauty, we, a team of gardeners, are working year-round. We become delighted when we see visitors from different corners of the world come here to enjoy this beauty. It's a matter of pride for us when they compliment us on our hard work.
Amid the coronavirus pandemic, the number of tourists visiting Kashmir has drastically reduced. Now, India's Prime Minister Narendra Modi has taken to Twitter and urged Indian citizens to visit Kashmir's tulip garden.
Kashmir is a heaven on earth. This is what we had heard, but now we believe it. I have never seen so many flowers together. The beauty of this place is mind-blowing.
Kashmir, a tourism-dependent economy, has long been affected by the ongoing turmoil in the region, and now the coronavirus pandemic has added to the miseries of people here. However, people are hoping against the hope that sooner or later the region will witness lasting peace and prosperity. Shahana Bhatt, Indian Administered Kashmir.
Artificial intelligence is fast growing and already touching many aspects of our daily lives. And now, a humanoid robot becomes the world's first machine artist to ever auction its own digital artwork. What is this world coming to? The robot called Sophia sold the artwork, which was in the form of a non-fungible token, for nearly $700,000. Sophia, who was unveiled in 2016 by a Hong Kong-based company, produced her art in collaboration with Italian digital artist Andrea Bonassetto. The artwork is a 12-second MP4 file showing the evolution of Bonassetto's portrait into Sophia's digital painting.
So, thank you very much for joining with me and supporting me today. The virtual, the real, the imaginal, and the literal. This kind of spirit of creativity and technology working together gives me hope that we can solve anything.
And we've been exploring Sophia's creativity on the side, but we really have been developing her as a platform and as a character more than as a work of fine art.
Since her activation, Sophia has achieved widespread appeal due to her unsettling human-like appearance, compounded with the complex ability to express emotions. She has appeared on talk shows and spoken at conferences about issues ranging from artificial intelligence to the role of robots. Hanson Company says Sophia now has simulations of every major muscle in the human face and can generate multiple expressions such as joy, grief, curiosity, and frustration.
Nothing marks the start of spring in Japan like cherry blossoms. This year, people try to endure the sakura season safely by observing health protocols. Scores of Japanese have flocked to Tokyo's Ueno Park and along the Meguro River to see stunning cherry trees in full blossom. The light pink flowers symbolize fresh starts in Japanese culture. The cherry blossoms generally last from April to May. Thanks to this year's warmer weather, trees have blossomed earlier than usual. However, the number of people coming out to enjoy the season has fallen sharply due to the coronavirus pandemic. Some sakura festivals around the capital were also cancelled. A new study has revealed that octopuses probably dream while sleeping just as humans do. Scientists in Brazil believe that the eight-legged animals experience two sleeping phases, active and quiet. During the active stage, the octopus's skin color changes. They also move their eyes and twitch their bodies. According to the study, they might have short dreams in this period. To do their research, scientists observed four octopuses while they were sleeping in the lab. Mammals, birds, and some reptiles also experience a two-phase sleep cycle. Many people have experienced the healing power of music. Now, a violinist in Brazil has taken advantage of the popular idea to spread joy and calm in COVID-hit hospitals. Cristiano has volunteered to play the violin for patients and health workers in Rio de Janeiro. According to the violinist, music should be played in all hospitals as it renews hope and eases stress. He says people are more isolated during the coronavirus pandemic, so they need music more than ever to stay motivated. Experts believe music therapy can also reduce heart rate and blood pressure.
Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. The program is Dialogue, and I'm your host, Mahdi. Today we want to talk about one of the great personalities in the early history of the Muslims, Imam Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi salam. Please stay tuned. Imam Muhammad al-Baqir was the direct descendant of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, and he was the fifth divinely appointed Imam among the household of the Holy Prophet. He was the son of the fourth divinely appointed Imam, Imam Ali ibn al-Husayn alayhi salam. Now all historians and traditionalists of Islam are unanimous that among the descendants of Imam Hassan and Imam Husayn, a maximum of religious sciences were expounded by Imam Muhammad al-Baqir. That is why the title of al-Baqir was given to the Imam, which denotes one who splits knowledge. Imam al-Baqir contributed greatly to the science of Quranic exegesis, scholastic theory, religious law, and Islamic jurisprudence, among many other subjects.
Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. My name is Muhammad, and I'm invited by Brother Mahdi to this segment of the program. Today, I'd like to read to you a passage about Islamic lifestyle according to Imam Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi salam. This passage is extracted from a book titled The Life of Imam Muhammad ibn Ali al-Baqir, written by the great Iraqi Muslim historian and scholar Allama Baqir Sharif al-Qurashi. This great Muslim scholar and historian was born in 1344 AH in the city of Najaf. He's well known for his books on the biography and conduct of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Please stay with me. Imam al-Baqir, peace be upon him, summoned Muslims to think things over. Imam al-Baqir, peace be upon him, said, "Through thinking things over, the fruitful opinion is concluded." This word is among the wonderful maxims. Man can come to a correct, genuine opinion through considering things carefully. He can conclude scientific facts and inventions through contemplating things. It is impossible for him to come to that without contemplation.
Welcome back, dear listeners. It's an honor and a blessing to have you with us on the program. You're listening to Dialogue on IRIB English Radio. Imam Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi salam is one of the 12 divinely appointed imams, and he happens to be the fifth divinely appointed imam from the progeny of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings upon him and his holy household. Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam is also known as Baqir al-Ulum, meaning the splitter, the opener of sciences, of knowledge, the one who expounds upon knowledge. And so we find in the historical texts of the Muslims that there were a great many conversations between Imam al-Baqir and his companions. In one such conversation and one such dialogue, we find that Imam al-Baqir, peace be upon him, urged his companions to treat people according to the rules of social conduct which are found in Islam. And so in this one specific instance, in the conversation, Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam talks about the rights of a Muslim towards another Muslim, which of course are delineated in Islam. So Imam al-Baqir says to his companion in response to a question that when you are in need of a certain thing, then ask him for that, meaning ask your Muslim brother for that. And when your Muslim brother asks you for a certain need, then give it to him. If you spare no good for your Muslim brother, your Muslim brother will likewise spare no good for you. And so in this beautiful dialogue, we find that Imam al-Baqir talks about these very universal principles, these principles which every human being can agree to. And they will agree to these principles whether they live in the East or in the West. When you are in need of a certain thing, then go ahead and ask your brother. But keep in mind, here we're not talking about begging somebody. We're not talking about pleading to somebody. For first and foremost, we must always ask and request Allah, the Mighty, the Exalted, the ultimate power and the true source of everything that we have. And on the other hand, it says that if your brother needs something from you, then make sure to give that need, fulfill that need of his. If we were to help each other out in this manner, the Muslim society, the Islamic society, and the world in general would be such a beautiful place indeed. Beautiful words brought to us by Imam al-Baqir, alayhi salam. And now we invite you to listen to Sayyid Muhammad Ridhvi.
Even when it comes to the concern for the mu'mineen among ourselves, Imam, there is a statement by some of the historians that among Banu Hashim those days, Imam was financially weak compared to other members of Banu Hashim. But even then, he would go out of his way to be concerned about Banu Hashim and the other mu'mineen and members in the community. A person by the name of Hassan bin Kathir, he went through some difficulty in his own lifetime, went to the friends. You know, he was affluent before, but things changed. With affluence, you have friends. When the affluence is gone, it's as if you have influenza. Nobody wants to get even close to you. And this was the situation of this fellow by the name of Hassan bin Kathir. He goes and complains to our fifth imam and he says, you know, the friends that I had, when I was okay, they were good. Now that I'm in need, nobody wants to really even approach me. فَتَعَثَّرَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ Imam became, you know, it impacted on him when he heard about the akhlaq, the bad akhlaq of some of the individuals in the community. And he says, بِئْسَ الْأَخْ يَرْعَاكَ غَنِيًّا وَيَقْطَعُكَ فَقِيرًا The words of the brothers are those who are concerned about you, or they respect you when you are affluent, and then they cut ties when you are faqir. And then he ordered his own slave to bring a bag of money which had 700 dirham, and he gave it to Hassan bin Kathir, and he says, you know, use this. Once you run out of this and you still need more, then let me know about it.
Thank you very much, dear friends, for listening to this episode of Dialogue. Don't forget to log on to our website at parstoday.com. Until another episode, God bless you and fi amanillah.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you because you are
a Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you.
From Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran, the scholar of this program is Mrs. Razia Shamili.
You are very special, and I'm so glad you're mine.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Dear listeners, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh. You are listening to Muslim Lady, a program which discusses the issues regarding Muslim lady. I'm Farman Ali Masumi, and with me, my wife, Razia Batul Najafi. Salamun alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh. Great ibadat, and you are asking me to come with you. That is, you know, amazing. Thank you so much.
Definitely, it is a great ibadat to share the sayings of Aima Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam with our dear listeners. I hope they can utilize, as we are trying to utilize and amplify their beautiful sayings in our daily life. So we were discussing a beautiful saying of Fatimatu Zahra, salamullah alayha, in our last episode, that Hubbiba, she says, I have chosen three things, you know, three things are very, very beloved to me. The first and the foremost is Tilawatul Quran, because these are the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By looking at Quran, you can get unlimited sawab, you know, just by looking at it. It's words.
Yeah, you know, people, people used to go to Ayatollah Wahjat and they used to ask that, what can we do for our imam? So Ayatollah Behjat, he would reply that, you have Quran. You open up Quran, that means you're visiting your present Imam. Imam is Mahdi, Ajalallah Ta'ala Farajahu Sharif.
So
because
we
say Quran
in Atiq,
Quran is Samit.
The same verses our Rasulullah, our all the Ahlul Bayt Imams, they have recited. Beautiful verses recited by Jibreel. So we have this opportunity to recite and to say with our this tongue these beautiful ayat. Number two is
An-nadharu fi wajhi Rasulillah. Inshallah, we are going to visit our Holy Prophet very soon. But nowadays, what can we do? That is my
because
question.
Because in the presence of Rasulullah, it was definitely looking at his face was ibadat. And why this was ibadat? You know, the face of Rasulullah, he was not, extraordinary something. You know, it was a normal human face, but by looking at the face of Rasulullah, they would get connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the main point. You know, by looking at his face, you would realize that there is a great creator who has created this beautiful personality, this beautiful face. So, but again, the question is nowadays how we can look at the face of Rasulullah, because we don't have this opportunity to look at his, physical face. The answer is very simple and easy. We have the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Amazing, amazing,
Even the ayat of Quran. By looking at these ayat and hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the examples, and utilizing his, sayings and examples in our practical life, we can look at the face of Rasulullah.
But not only Rasulullah, even the sayings of Imam Ali and Hazrat Zahra,
makes
Rasulullah's heart very, very happy. And also ulama, the scholars, the expert, the pious people even, because we have hadith that, live with them, live with someone who's higher than you in iman, in faith.
Say, an-nadharu fi wajhi al-ulama,
ibadah.
Fi wajhi al-alim ibadah.
Yeah, looking towards alim
because
and
what
scholars
does alim
ibadah.
Do? Alim represents Rasulullah, the Aima Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam.
But definitely the practicing alim,
Practicing,
inshallah,
definitely.
Inshallah.
If you have this belief in your heart that he represents Rasulullah, he is on the same way, he is guiding people towards the same path that Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to guide people towards that path, that will bring all the reward and all the sawab to you.
I remember one hadith says looking at husband is sawab. And one more hadith says looking at alim is sawab. So mashallah, you are my husband and you are alim. You have the dress of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Right. Because of all the teachings of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, we all have to try our best to utilize them in our practical life.
Please send any suggestion, any idea to our email, that is englishradio@irib.ir.
By understanding the ahadith of Rasulullah, by utilizing them in our practical life, by looking at the ulama's face, by looking at the seerah, the practical life of ulama, we can see at the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. By looking at the ahadith of the representatives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from our first imam to the last imam, which is alive, this is a very, very great opportunity for us.
Al-Infaq fi Sabilillah. I love the way You know, there are so many other ibadats are there. But look at the selection of Our Lady, because infaq, giving charity in the way of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, is very essential. You know, I was just reading that when Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala wanted to introduce Imam Ali alayhi salam as a wali, as an imam, Imam Ali is full of merits, you know, his bravery is there, his salah, namaz, and fasting, and so many other ibadat are there. But in Quran, Allah says, "Innama waliyukum Allah." You know, who's your wali? The one who gives, you know, charity while he's in the position of ruku', you know, during the salah. So Allah has chosen the quality and attribute of infaq and giving away and sharing and generosity. The same again, way, here, Bibi Fatma Zahra Salamullah Alayha, she has chosen, you know, something goes to Allah, at-tilawatu fi kitabillah, an-nazaru fi wajhi rasulillah, and then, you know, there are so many ibadat. She's not saying, I love to pray only. Pray. No, she's saying, al-infaq, 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 you know.
And she says, I love hubbiba ilayya. And sometimes you like it, you know. You want to get some sawab by donating, by giving charity, but in this case, she loves
exactly.
You know, from bottom of your heart.
Exactly. And she's the daughter of Ummu Sakha, Khatijat al-Kubra, salamullah alayha. Like mother of generosity, Fatimah al-Zahra, she's daughter of mother of generosity.
Hadrat
who's
Khadija,
the mother of
Khatijat al-Kubra, salamullah alayha.
She loved to share and care and give and give. You know, she's giving this message. Even the wording again, حُبِّبَ إِلَيَّ مِن دُنْيَا
كُمْ
دُنْيَا كُمْ like
from
your world. Like this world is not that much dear to me, only this world. This world can be a mean, a tool, a medium to reach to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then I love it. Definitely I love to be, you know, donate my things, my time, my kids, my family, my wealth, whatever I have. But I'm not attached to this world. This is your world, because we are giving so much importance to this, you know, red and blue and the stones and the stuffs. So, but Lady Fatima Zahra Salamullah Alayha, she says, حُبِّبَ إِلَيَّ مِن دُنْيَاكُمْ
السَّلَاسِ. Oh, beautiful point, because she knows that people usually, they love this world. Ourselves also, we love this world, and we, you know, we did not try to implement these beautiful sayings. If we look at in our heart, do we utilize this hadith, infaq fi sabilillah? Do we know the importance of infaq fi sabilillah?
We love to collect. We have collection of so many
things. We always
show
the greediness.
Yeah,
we are always greedy. We want to collect, as you said, all the, you know, financial thing, all the material thing for ourselves. We fill our house with different things, with clothes, with, you know, vessels, with all the household
unfortunately,
stuff.
Unfortunately, you know, the role models which they are showing for us, the heroines, means the one, the success is with the one who has collected lot of money. Not the one who is just sharing it, you know. And, you know, one point which I truly like, nowadays science is talking a lot about it, is that the true, the genuine, the high level of happiness comes when you share. When you donate, when you give. Like, for example, if I'm buying a new latest mobile, cell phone, so maybe I'll take pleasure for few days, few months, then slowly the level of pleasure comes down, But if I'm using normal mobile, and if I'm giving the same normal mobile, you know, donating to someone else, so then my state of pleasure will become very high. I can uplift, you know. It
will give
speed
you
up.
Unlimited pleasure. The pleasure You know, you will not feel just for a few hours or few days. It will remain with you until that person uses and benefits from that device.
Exactly.
But unfortunately, as you said, nowadays, you know, we look at these worldly role models in Instagrammers and YouTubers and footballers and actors and actresses. We always keep following them, and we know each and, you know, a single word, whatever they do in their daily life. If you ask young boy and girl about a specific footballer, whatever they have interest in, they will give all the details about that person, you know, whatever cars he has collected, where does he live, what is his, you know, lifestyle, what foods he likes. And slowly, slowly, this sets up their mentality. In their practical life also, they go towards these things. They try to achieve all the money to get all these facilities. Then they think that now we are a successful. We have truly followed that person. So, unfortunately, this is like this.
Yeah, and whenever we talk about infaq, I remember chapter Insan, chapter Dahar. Now, again, in chapter there, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, when he wanted to praise the family of Lady Fatima Zahra Salamullahi Alayha, again, Allah has chosen the charity, yunfiquna. Yeah, what was the ayah?
يطعمون الطعام على حبه يتيما ومسكينا وأسيرا.
Yeah, يطعمون. Again, they are sharing. You know, look at the ayah. You know, like it's not just talk about that Lady Fatima Zahra Salamullah Alayha. She's praying. She's fasting. Not only that. You know, the most focus is on infaq. So you can reach to Allah Tabaraka wa Taala by serving people, by helping
so
others.
There are a lot more to discuss with our dear listeners, but again, this
time doesn't
clock
allow
is
us,
not allowing us. I hope our listeners have enjoyed as we did here, definitely. Until our next episode, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Who is the Lover?
Allah.
Who is Ar-Rahman?
Allah.
Who is Al-Mannan?
La ilaha illallah. Muhammadur Rasulullah. Muhammad is the messenger. To Allah is our return.
The Quran, given by God to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his family, more than 1400 years ago, as guidance for humanity.
La ilaha illallah.
Muhammadur Rasulullah.
Quran speaks about women.
The Quran teaches the equality of men and women in the eyes of Allah.
Chapter 33, verse 35.
All praise is due to the one and only. He is the master of all creation.
Modesty and chastity are encouraged by the Quran, both for women and for men.
Chapter 24, verses 30 and 31.
He is the sustainer and the maintainer of the whole universe.
God created us from one male and one female and made us into nations and tribes so that we make to know one another, not to despise each other.
Chapter 49, verse 13.
La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, Muhammad is the messenger, to Allah is our return.
The Quran has indicated worthy women in history just as it has mentioned such men, and has commended them greatly.
Chapter 3, verse 37.
In the limelight.
in what many Palestinians have described as a continuation of the Nakba, that is, Israel's 1948 ethnic cleansing campaign in Palestine, the Zionist regime is currently in the process of expelling thousands of Palestinians from East Al-Quds under the pretext of preservation. In this regard, we have prepared for you an article written by Jessica Boxbaum, an Al-Quds-based journalist for Midpress News, covering Palestine, occupied territories, and Syria under the heading "An Old Green Colonial Trick: Israel Masking Land Grabs as Environmental Conservation." Please stay with us to hear more about the issue. For decades, a Palestinian village on the southern tip of Al-Quds has lived on and cultivated the land. But a series of recent efforts by the Israeli regime is not only threatening their way of life, but potentially displacing them from their homes. On January 25th, Al-Quds District Planning Committee rejected the residents of Palestinian village Al-Walaja's plan to legalize their homes and further develop the community. Instead, the committee declared their land an ancient agricultural area in need of environmental conservation that should be transformed into a national park. The notion of environmental integrity struck Amy Cohen, Director of International Relations and Advocacy at the Israeli nonprofit Er Amim, as contradictory. Cohen said the planning committee and the Israeli civil administration within the West Bank have been promoting and advancing plans within the same area for illegal Jewish settlers, adding, "It shows massive discrimination in how Israel treats Palestinian areas in order to suppress the residential development." The committee's decision paves the way for the lifting of the demolition freeze on 38 Al-Walaja's home. On April 26, Israel's Supreme Court will convene for a hearing on Al-Walaja 2018 petition over its resident-initiated outline plan. Ibrahim Araj, 37, grew up in Al-Walaja. The home he built for his family in 2016 is now under threat of demolition. Araj expects the court will not rule in Al-Walaja's favor in April, and his house will be demolished. Referring to the planning committee's rejection of the development plan for environmental reason, Araj said, "It's not logical or legal," adding, "The village is surrounded by illegal settlements and the apartheid wall, which destroyed the nature and environmental landscape." The planning committee did not respond to requests for comment. When the Zionist regime annexed East Al-Quds in 1967, it took the northern section of Al-Walaja as well. Today, Al-Walaja is split between Al-Quds and areas B and C of the West Bank, so one-third of the land is controlled by the Al-Quds municipality and the rest by the Bethlehem Governorate. The Al-Quds area of Al-Walaja has been at risk of forced displacement for a decade as a result of the planning committee's refusal to discuss an outline plan. This refusal has made it impossible for the community to obtain building permits, so Araj had to construct his house without one. Amid the absence of building permits, demolition orders have increased. More than 20 homes have been razed in Al-Walaja since 2016. The Zionist regime authorities have prevented Al-Walaja from developing while expanding Jewish settlements around the village and the apartheid wall, the barrier separating the West Bank and the occupied territories. Construction of the wall on three sides of Al-Walaja cut off the village from nearly 300 acres of its agricultural land and turned that land into Nahal Rephaim National Park. Our Gilo settlement lies to the south of Al-Walaja. The Israel Civil Administration's proposed expansion of the Har Gilo settlement to the west of the village will extend the wall, thereby enclosing Al-Walaja and fully isolating it from its surroundings. the civil administration did not respond to requests for comment, mentioning how the villagers are now blocked from the olive trees they harvested before the wall was built. Arash said the wall and the settlements deprived us from accessing our own land that we worked so hard to cultivate. Al Walaja residents experience harassment daily from the Zionist settlers and authorities. Arash explained, the civil administration confiscates our equipment when we start building a new house. The settlers around us use drones to take pictures when we start building and send them to the civil